JLK. And now, here's Jack Patty.
Good morning. It is 9:09 as we welcome you into the 9 to 10 show for Friday. It's the 12th day of December. Brought to you by Landscaper's Corner, the one-stop shop for all your landscaping needs. You'll find Landscaper's Corner in Lexington at 1305 Old Frankfort Pike, 225-9433. Our question of the day today brought to you by United Structural Systems, a professional foundation repair and waterproofing company in business for over 20 years. iFixFoundations.com, 859-254-7700. Our question is this: if you had to choose, which is more important to you, gun rights or gun control? You tell us at WVLKAM.com. Tune in for the results. Cruiser will have them for you from noon to 3. Yesterday, we asked, is the state right to deny tax breaks to the proposed Noah's Ark attraction in Grant County? 50% of you said no, 30% said yes, and 20% of you were unsure. Well, it is a forensic Friday, as it is every Friday here around these parts. Commonwealth Attorney Ray Larson is off today, but we have the second in command, and I know that because I toured their facilities, and she's got the second best office at the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office, and that is Luanna Redcorn. I did notice that. Nice window looking out on the street. And
the old courthouse is lovely.
Oh, it really is, isn't it? Luanna has been with us for many times and is a great sub for Ray. And you have been with the Commonwealth Attorney's Office how many years now?
I just finished my 27th year, so I'm into my 28th.
Wow. That's amazing. You started really young.
A baby.
Baby, yeah. Well, it's good to have you here. I know Ray can never say enough good things about you and the work that you do. And you brought a couple of folks with you. One is a kind of a regular on this program, semi-regular. Tell us who you brought with you.
Rob Wilson. He's a homicide detective with the Lexington Police Department.
Rob, good morning.
He's been there 16 years.
16 years.
Yeah. Great investigator. And also with us is Amanda Nash, a fellow assistant Commonwealth's attorney, and she's been with the office for 10 years.
Hey, good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
I wrongfully said you haven't done this before, but you actually were here once before.
Once before, yes.
We're glad you're here. You know, we live in a time, and I don't even think about it, and I don't think most people do, when you can't do too many things in public without getting caught on tape.
Yes, thank goodness, though, for the tape in criminal cases.
Right, exactly. And that the case today kind of involves that. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to let Amanda and Rob tell you in greater detail, but today we're going to discuss the case of Commonwealth of Kentucky versus Ray Ray Shante Sharp Warren. It's a case of robbery, occurred at Transylvania University last year, but was just recently resolved. So I thought I'd let Amanda just kind of give us a very quick description of the case and let Rob talk about the investigation.
So last year, on November 14th of 2013, around lunchtime, Ray Ray pulled into the circle in front of Old Morrison at Transylvania University, went into Old Morrison and went to the accounting office in that building. And she handed a note to the cashier as she walked into the accounting office, which said, "Give me all the money in the drawer, no dye pack, and she had a gun. And if she did not follow her instructions, we would die." And so the cashier, of course, handed all the money that was in the drawer.
Now, how much money would a place like that have on hand?
They only had about $1,200 at that time. I think she thought, we believe that she thought there was more money there, but that's all that they had at that time, which is a significant amount of money to get away with. But, of course, she did what she said based on that note and handed that money. And as soon as she left, they pressed the panic button, and the Transylvania Department of Public Safety got over there very quickly. But Ray Ray was seen on video. She was captured on the surveillance video at Transylvania. So,
was that inside or outside or both?
It was outside. They did not have video inside, but it was outside. You can see her pulling up in this vehicle. You see her going in, and you see her coming out. And there happened to be a student who saw this car sitting there running and thought it was odd and was able to get a partial plate. You also see the student on that surveillance video walking across.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. Partial plate, didn't get it all.
Didn't get it all, but we also saw the vehicle on the video, so that helped to
identify the car.
Exactly.
So then the case begins with an investigation by the Transylvania Police Department, because they do have their own public safety organization. Is that right, Rob?
Yes, they do. And Amanda and I were talking during the course of preparing for trial. They did an outstanding job in this
Transylvania
case.
Police. Yeah.
Absolutely. Their documentation of what they did was done very, very well and really helped our department out and further in the investigation.
So technically, how does it work? They do theirs and then they hand off to you, or?
It depends on the severity, really. They deal with a number of issues on their campus, and when bigger issues come on, they're more than capable of working those, but a lot of times they will call for our assistance and we're happy to help.
So how did it start? Did she call 911 and to the Lexington Police Department, or, and I'm talking about the woman in the accounting office?
The panic alarm was hit in the office, which forced the Transy Police Department to respond. They were able to pull surveillance video, stuff like that, do initial interviews of the victim. At that point, they contacted us, and we sent officers from patrol to go ahead and start an incident report of our own.
Now, she said in the note, no dye pack. Would some place like that have dye packs? I think of a bank.
I think of a bank, too.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
They did not have any dye packs.
Okay.
So.
All right, so we've got a note. We've got a threat of a gun. No inside video, you said, but she was identified on the outside video. What about fingerprints and things like that?
The Transylvania Police Department did go and try to take fingerprints, and there was just fingerprints all over the place. When you walk into the accounting office, there's a high kind of desk, and you know, people go in there and put their hands on that all the time.
So that was kind of futile, I think.
That was. And so that, but they did do that step to see.
What about the note?
The note, the cashier, she was so nervous, she gave it back to her, so we did not have the note.
So we didn't have the note. Okay.
So,
which is understandable. People
sure.
get nervous.
Oh, yeah.
But as soon as they received the panic button and responded, they went to see if they could find her. They immediately had gotten this description, even before they pulled the surveillance video, and took off in different directions to see if they could try to find the person who did this. They were unable to do that, so then they sent out what they call a T-alert to their students and staff through email and text to say that this happened and if anyone had any information. And fortunately, that's when the student responded that she had this, that she had, what she had seen. And there was also someone who worked at Transy that had run into her when she was coming in, and that employee was coming out of Old Morrison.
T alert, is that texting everybody?
I think it's
or
a Transylvania
just
alert.
Okay.
Which is a great thing.
Sure.
That these universities do now.
Right.
Is to be
if
able
there's
to
any
contact
kind of threat
people
or, uh-huh.
very quickly.
Yeah. It's very, very handy. Okay, so couldn't find her right away. How long did it take to track her?
Well, we were excited about the initial information about the video and the partial license plate. The video, upon viewing it, there's not a clear picture of a person. You couldn't use it for identification purpose, but what you could say was the victim was correct in her description as a female, black, heavy set, taking off in this direction.
What kind of car, you remember?
Yeah, it was an older model Buick. And again, we couldn't see the tag from the video, but we took the witness's information, ran a query. No real information came from that, unfortunately. We released the portion of the video to the news. The media put it out. Later that evening, we got a tip from an individual who had filed a unlawful use of a vehicle. Basically, he'd lent someone he knew a car, and they had not returned it for a day or so. He looked on the news and saw that that was more than likely his vehicle.
Surprise!
How about that?
And so we go out and interview him, and he's very cooperative, gives us the name of an individual that he lent the car to. That person was Ray Ray Shantae Sharp Warren. Did a quick investigation, knew that Miss Warren closely matched the physical description of the suspect. We obtained information from this individual's car. The first three numbers matched the numbers given by the witness.
Looking good.
Yeah, we felt very confident that we were on the right path in the investigation.
Did she have any kind of a record prior?
Yes, but nothing.
Nothing serious?
Nothing like that. So at that point, we tried to find her through the course of the night, but memory serves, we had a homicide investigation going on that time as well. So a lot of the detectives in the unit were scattered around, and we didn't have a lot of time to focus on it that night.
Mm-hmm.
But the next morning, we started up fresh on it.
Ray's always talking about this technical stuff that is so important in your case. And explain, Luanna, if you will, the difference between if she went in there and said, give me your money, or what she did do is say, give me your money, I have a gun.
Right.
There's
it's
a big
it's
difference.
A big difference.
Yeah.
We're talking about the difference between robbery in the first degree, which is the most serious and carries some mandatory minimums in terms of prison time, and robbery in the second degree.
And whether or not she had a gun is insignificant, correct or not?
Well, it's not exactly correct, but kind of. What it means is robbery first means having a weapon or threatening or implying a weapon or hurting somebody in the course of the robbery. Robbery second doesn't have the weapon or the injury element. So if you imply a weapon but nobody sees the weapon, you can be guilty of robbery in the first degree. But if you go to a jury trial, the jury is always given the option of finding you guilty of robbery in the second degree.
I got you. Okay, we're going to take a break. I know you guys have questions. It's an interesting case. 253. And we're back. 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere. 1-877-777-0590. Or email jackpatty at wvlkam.com. Assistant Commonwealth Attorney Luanna Redcorn's with us, along with Amanda Foley Nash from the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, Detective Rob Wilson, and we're talking about a first-degree robbery case that occurred in November of 2013. A woman pulled up in the circle in front of Old Morrison Hall at Transylvania, left her engine running, walked inside, took a bunch of money, came back out, took off, and with $1,266 apparently out of the money drawer inside the office there. And she was, as they say on TV all the time, caught on tape. And I guess more and more, Rob, more and more cases are aided, or at least investigations are aided with the help of tape, videotape.
Yeah, that's one area where technology's really helped us out. And I think it was last year we had several of our homicides that were actually captured on tape from surveillance cameras in parking lots and such. So they really do go a long way in helping us out.
Yeah, and that's one of the first things I think the police do is when you have one of these, something that occurs outside is basically canvas the area to see where the video cameras are. So I know we had video cameras in the most recent murder case that just wrapped up last night. That was caught on video.
Was it?
Yes, it was. Of course, now it doesn't tell you what's going on in the mind of the person that's
sure.
committing the offense, but it certainly helps to give the jury a better idea of what happened.
And the combination of that and cell phone records are just invaluable now.
I call it digital forensic evidence.
Yeah, no kidding. That's great.
It's making a much bigger difference than fingerprints.
Yeah, we were talking the other day in the office. I've been in homicide now for 12 years. Every time we have a big case, we get a big folder or binder together. Back when I was starting out there, we just now were starting to use cell phones, and we weren't even aware of the tracking capabilities. And we used to have to go through the federal government for search warrants, and we thought it was the greatest thing, and we had to do all this stuff to get it. Mm-hmm. And now it's on our table of contents. There is no case I can't recall where a cell phone is not, you know, involved. Even it may not provide us any information, but we know we have to look. So there's... She's exactly right.
Rob, you mentioned that you put a certain amount of the video out for the media to use, and that actually helped because somebody was able to identify his car. Mm-hmm. Is that routine? Do you routinely take that kind of thing when you're looking for somebody and release it to the media, and how specific do you have to be in terms of what they're allowed to show, et cetera?
Well, certainly the main intent is for suspect identification, so we'll always try to get our best still shot of the suspect's face, if there is one, and put that out there. We're obviously not going to show anything that's graphic. We try not to identify or show the faces of victims in
right.
there. So we do have to narrow it down a little bit, but yeah, we'll certainly flood the market, especially in these commercial type robberies.
I have to laugh. There was a picture of a bank robber within the last month in the newspaper. And, of course, it was taken from a surveillance camera behind the teller. Mm-hmm. So you see the back of the teller's head and the face of the robbery suspect. But on the teller's computer, she was playing solitaire.
Yeah, well, it catches everything, right?
That's right. Okay, go ahead, Luanna.
Well, we had been talking about at the break about the difference between robbery first and robbery second. One thing I wanted to point out, and I think sometimes victims – don't understand this, is the note says, I have a gun. Everybody's going to die if you don't give me the money.
Yeah, it even said everybody's going to die. Right. I mean, that's a real
right.
threat. Yeah.
But nobody saw a gun. But it's not what the victim thinks, which is I think is sometimes the way we view it, that it ought to be. I thought this person had a gun. This ought to be a robbery in the first degree. Was it an issue, Amanda? I know we're kind of jumping ahead here to the resolution of the case, but did you feel like the fact that no one saw a gun was an issue in this case?
I think it can be an issue. I think in this particular case, since she stated that she had a gun, even though no one saw it, she had a big bag with her as well, and that she placed up on the counter when she came in. So I think I felt pretty confident in saying that this was going to be a robbery first, and that, you know, mm-hmm. if we had gone to trial, she would have been convicted of robbery first.
I mean, I think that's exactly right. If she says I have a gun, the jury can certainly believe she has a gun. Mm-hmm. Rob, after the information went out and you got the call and were able to identify who the car belonged to, how did you get to Ray Ray Shante?
Well, before we even tried to locate her, once we got her information and a photograph of her, I was able to locate the victim of the robbery the next morning, put Miss Warren in a photographic lineup, and the victim did a fantastic job. She was scared. She was terrified. And we always feel bad, too, putting the pictures of these people in front of them so closely after a traumatic incident. But she kept her cool and was able to identify Miss Warren as the individual that robbed Transy the day before.
How many photographs do you show in a photographic lineup?
Typically six, with the suspect being one, and then we'll have five others.
Five others. And do you specifically look for people who have similar features?
Absolutely, yeah. We want to be fair in our photo identifications, yeah. Yes.
But she picked her out just like that.
Yeah, it was a very good identification.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Jim is standing by. Jim, good morning.
Yes, sir. I just like to add a little something to Stephen's stuff going on. It goes on everywhere. It's a low-tech idea, and I see it all the time around town, different places I go. When somebody buys something, a TV set or whatever it is, they put the box on the street. And I don't think that's a good idea to do that, because that's just broadcasting. Hey, I just bought myself a big broad screen TV. You don't want to come in and steal it. You know, I think it's just a bad idea to do that.
I never thought of that. That's really good, especially this time of year.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. That's I think crime prevention is certainly as important as trying to catch the bad guy or girl after it happens.
Thanks, Jim. That's a good idea, especially with Christmas coming up. I remember in the days that they used to have you put your social security number on your valuables. Remember that? That's the last thing you want to do now is have your social security number on anything. We're taking a break and we'll be right back. 253-5959. Touch 937, 23 minutes before 10 o'clock. And in the studio with us this morning, Assistant Commonwealth's Attorney Leanna Redcorn and also Amanda Nash. We have Detective Rob Wilson with us, and we're talking about a robbery case that occurred in 2013 but was just recently resolved. Luana?
Yeah, we've been talking about the robbery case up at Transylvania, and we'd gotten to the point where a witness had given a partial plate. That car had been identified. Tell us about then encountering the defendant in this case and what she told you.
We were initially able to get some information that she was staying at a relative's house on the south end of town. Myself and a couple other detectives went there, knocked on the door. Miss Warren, a relative of Miss Warren, answered the door, initially stated that she wasn't there, but then kind of gave a facial indicator that she's here
behind
the door.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, we kind of got a little nervous, and the lady went ahead and came on out of the house and was able to tell her relative, "The police are here. Come on out. You know, they're not leaving." So Miss Warren did. She came to the doorway. And this was just moments after the victim had identified her. So we hadn't had time to get a warrant or anything, but we felt we had probable cause to arrest her. She stated what this was about and told her we wanted to talk to her about an incident that occurred at Transylvania University the previous day. She asked if she was under arrest. We said, "No, absolutely not at this point." And at that point, she tried to close the door in our face, and we kind of put our foot in the door and placed her under arrest. Took her down to headquarters, in the vehicle, advised her of her Miranda rights. She waived those.
Which means she didn't want an attorney, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
She initially denied any involvement, then asked to speak to an officer with our police department who's actually an assistant chief at this point. I guess her family had dealings with him. I allowed her to speak with him through speakerphone on my phone.
The car?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He was able to instruct her, "Listen, you're caught. Best thing you can do is tell the truth and cooperate." So we went on, had a formal interview down at the jail where Miss Warren admitted participating in the Transy robbery the previous day, and gave some particulars of the incident, and the money was gone. She'd already spent the $1,200, so there was no money to be retrieved to be reimbursed to Transy.
What'd she say about the gun?
She stated that she did not have
she
a gun.
Did not have a gun. Okay. And do you have any feeling whether or not this involved, you know, substance abuse?
Absolutely.
That's what I was wondering. That's a lot of money to spend real quick.
It is. And who knows to say if she's telling the truth. But from people that we talked to, Ms. Warren did have a pretty bad drug habit. So, you know, she was committing these crimes to get money to support that habit.
Percentage-wise, Luanna, my guess is women represent a very small minority of women, of people who commit robberies.
I think you're right, although it may have increased maybe over time, but what do you think, Rob?
No, they're a very small percentage, but no, I'd agree they're stepping up in the game a little more. Just this past year, we've had, I believe, a female bank robber, Miss Warren. We've had a couple of female suspects robbing like Speedway stores.
Really?
Shell stations, yes.
And you could probably almost always go back to drugs.
Yeah, but it's weird, and I certainly don't want to stereotype or anything, but it tends to be that the female suspects, when they're committing these robberies, are a little more sympathetic. The one that I've mentioned that committed the bank robbery, that's still ongoing, so we can't talk
about it. Can't talk about it, sure.
But she was really down on her luck financially.
Really?
And was strapped, no history of drug use. It was just she was at the end of a rope. Hmm. And, you know, just had to do something drastic, and when we spoke to the individual, she was not your typical criminal. It was a sad story, and, you know, there's some sympathy that we all have. We, you know, we can all fall down.
Sure.
But it tends to be that the females are a little more sympathetic and do it, you know, more out of necessity as opposed to a drug habit or such.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. Although what is equally interesting to me is that if you really people get in those situations, very little money is usually gotten in a violent or a personal robbery. It's the people that write the bad checks or do the credit card fraud or forge checks. Those are the ones that actually, you know, get money for the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, we talked a little bit about prevention. If I could just go ahead and throw this out to anybody that may be thinking about robbing a bank, you're not going to get much money from banks anymore.
Really?
They do not keep much there at the counter. And not even in the vault like the movies. It's just not a lot of money is on hand. You're not going to get a lot of money when you decide to rob a bank. What you are going to get is a lot of trouble and a lot of prison time.
I was going to say, what you are going to get is caught.
Yes.
It's very rare that you don't catch bank robbers, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
So what happened to Ms. Warren Sharp? I know she admitted that she had committed the robbery, but said she didn't have a gun.
Right, exactly. And It got set for trial, actually, and we're planning on going to trial. And the day before trial, she had taken the offer that I had made to her, which is 10 years on robbery first. So,
And what does that mean in terms of actually serving time?
She has to serve 85% of that time in prison. So,
as Kentucky penal punishment goes in Kentucky, 85% is a significant amount. Robbery in the first degree is 10 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. She took the minimum. Now, did she have any criminal record?
She had misdemeanors, and then she had had, 2 weeks prior to this, she had been placed on diversion for a felony offense. That is, she pled guilty to welfare fraud. She had received 3 years, but it was diverted for a period of 5 years that if you don't commit any other offenses, you don't violate any the law at any point, you can... That will come off your record after 5 years. Well, that was 2 weeks before this robbery. So so once this robbery happened, we moved to void her diversion, which didn't happen until after she pled guilty to the robbery. And she was sentenced to 3 additional years above and beyond the robbery that she has to serve for that, too. So, but she didn't have any significant criminal record prior to this robbery of Trancy.
So you made her an offer of 10 years.
Yes.
She took it.
She took it at the last minute. We were prepared to go to trial, so...
Because she would have gotten an instruction on robbery second. I mean, since no one saw a gun, even though she said she had a gun, I think the jury still would have had the option of convicting her of robbery second, which is 5 to 10 years, and it has a 20% parole eligibility. So, you know, if she got the maximum on robbery second, 10 years, she would have been eligible for parole in 2 years.
But she also ran the risk of getting up to 20 years on robbery in the first degree. And, you know, she went to Transylvania to a college campus. The women in the accounting office were going to testify about what happened. Their statements were very compelling. They were scared, and they were going to show that on the stand. So I think she ran a risk of getting a lot more time than 10 years as well.
How traumatized were these victims? And let's talk a little bit about victims of crimes like that.
She was scared. She was very shaken. And again, you can't ever excuse it, but employees that work at a bank, they realize that banks, you know, do have the potential of getting robbed. This is the accounting office at Transylvania University. As far as I know, we've never had any report of any crime occurring there.
Wait. What about the items that were taken from the
library? That was from the library. I was talking about the
accounting office. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Right. Yeah, that's a different show.
Okay.
Plus the murder that occurred in the driveway.
1961.
Yeah.
Maybe someday we'll be talking about that.
Oh, we've talked about that on this show before.
Yeah, we're close.
Cold case. I'm sorry?
Yeah, we're close. Getting some answers.
Did you just say we're close?
Some answers.
Really? No kidding.
There will never be a prosecution on this case. But we're close to getting some answers possible.
And it's still on the books? Oh. It's still an open case?
Absolutely. We looked into it, I think 2006 is when we reopened it and made some progress. And there's been an ongoing investigation when we have time because of all the current homicides obviously take precedence.
People always bring that up.
Always.
That and Melanie Flynn, of course. We're taking a break. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at wvlkam.com. Here is an email from Ken McBrayer, former neighbor of Luana, saying, I'm listening to your broadcast today from Budapest, Hungary. It is 9:46, 14 minutes before 10 o'clock, and that is time to pop the question with a beautiful engagement ring from the Castle, the biggest discounter of diamonds and fine jewelry. Partly cloudy, lower 40s today. Increasing cloudiness night, low of 30. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-40s. On Sunday, mostly cloudy and a high in the mid-40s once again. Right now we have fair skies, and it's 25, feels like 17 at your official weather station. News Talk 590 WVLK. There is a big show tonight, a really big show. It's a one-time event, and it's down at Boone Tavern, and they, as I understand it, they have a few seats remaining, not very many, and it's something that I think might just make your Christmas. It's an evening or a dinner with Scrooge, and what it is, you'll enjoy a beautiful four-course dinner, as only Boone Tavern can prepare, and the whole story of Scrooge takes place all around your tables as the characters come to life in an adaptation written by Eric Seal. Dinner begins at 7. They're going to open the doors at 6:45. Boone Tavern, by the way, serves beer, wine, and your favorite mixed drinks now to add to your holiday cheer. That's new. The cost is $50 per person, does not include taxes, gratuity, or alcohol, and reservations are required. Like I say, seating is limited, so I'm going to give you the phone number to call. It's tonight, just one show. And another thing is they're offering a special room rate for those who go to the show, $99. So it would be a great night to go and enjoy a show, a wonderful dinner, and spend the night at the beautifully renovated Boone Tavern in Berea. Here's the number, 859-985-3700 to make your reservations. 859.
Get connected, get entertained, get local with News Talk 590 WVLK. Your favorite show streamed right to your computer, tablet, or smartphone. Download the WVLK app today at WVLKAM.com.
Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
I'm Jennifer Wild with Tech Trends, and today's Tech Trend could save you from some frustration. You know, we all know this. There's no worse time waster than sitting on the line with customer service. Or sitting there waiting for customer service. That's the worst part. But Fast Customer can help you with that. All you do is you open the app, then you enter which company and which department you'd like to talk to, and then your phone will ring once a real live agent is able to talk to you over the line. So basically, they do all the holding for you, and then they just call you when it's time to do your business. It's so simple. Now, dealing with the customer service rep on the line is going to be your job. They can't take all the frustration away, but if you want to check it out, go to fastcustomer.com. I'm Jennifer Wild with Tech Trends, and today's Tech Trend I am definitely adding to my Christmas list. You know how sometimes bad things happen and then they turn out to be really good? Well, I'm going to choose to believe that that's what happened with my Roomba vacuum cleaner. You know, the little robot vacuums? Mine died. But maybe it died so the new Dyson robotic vacuum could come into my life. They say it's more powerful, effective, and intelligent than the Roomba. Which, you know, the Roomba was a very innovative product at the time, but this thing took 16 years and $47 million to develop. It's called the Dyson 360i. It's got 8 sensors and a 360-degree camera that can map out a detailed floor plan to navigate an entire house. And you can control the whole thing from an app on your smartphone. I totally want one.
The American Hoedowners. Price of admission is one new toy. It's all about the kids at the Leeds Friday, December 19th at 7 p.m.
Listen to News Talk 590 WVLK live anywhere, anytime at WVLKAM.com.
Really interesting program this morning. Luanna Redcorn is with us, Assistant Commonwealth Attorney, and also Amanda Nash and Rob Ford, detective with the police department. And Rob Wilson. I know a Rob Ford too. Rob Wilson, take it away there. Where do we go from here? We've got the lady. She's going to do 8.5 years
to the parole board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I guess technically she has restitution.
She does have restitution of $1,266.
So if she gets out on parole, that'll be a condition of her parole that she make this restitution.
Correct.
And I wonder if Transylvania has instituted any new procedures, and I wonder if they did put any kind of video.
They did institute new procedures with regards to their accounting office, I believe. Right, so
just to make it a little safer for their employees, probably. Mm-hmm. Speaking of people being safe this time of year, I was curious, and wanted maybe Rob to tell us, if crime like these, personal robberies or thefts, burglaries, go up during this time of the year, during the holidays.
They certainly tend to, as we say, it is the season.
Yeah.
In law enforcement, starting around Thanksgiving, we start to see an increase in a lot of property crimes. And, you know, some of our more violent crimes, we've had a rash of robberies. We've had quite a few bank robberies in the latter part of the year here. We just made an arrest, I believe, yesterday or the day before on a robbery that occurred on Harrodsburg Road at one of the banks. So we do see an increase in that, you know, starting in October, November, and we do actually prepare for it. We're more attuned to picking up patterns and getting task force available to address the more specific problems of the robberies and the property crimes.
And of course, it never hurts to remind people, don't put gifts and stuff out where people can see them.
Yes. Again, there is an increase, you know, in crimes during the holiday season, but there's also more opportunity for
right.
it. So somebody may not be walking out their house planning to commit a crime that day, but they see the crime of opportunity there with a package on their doorstep or something like that.
We had a report this morning about that, somebody taking packages.
Well, the police did a good job. I mean, that had been happening, and I think they put patrols out to kind of follow the trucks around, and sure enough.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was talking to. We're kind of aware that this is the season, so when we see things starting to happen, we'll be a little more proactive as far as addressing those issues, and that's what happened this week, and the patrol officers did a fantastic job and apprehended a guy and, you know, hopefully put a stop to some of that going on.
You guys have the tower out at the mall?
I don't know that we have it up yet. I know typically we will have it up because there are, boy, talk about an area where you could just break into a car and get away with a lot of property. And not only that, you know, it makes it a little more devastating in the holiday season when you've just gotten a present for your child and you put it in the back seat of your car and you walk out there and it's gone.
It's gone, yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't have a lot of money. And so when you spend that money for your child and it gets stolen, it's not like you can run out and get it again. So you face the fact of having, you know, to tell your small kids that you just didn't have a whole lot to give them this Christmas.
Mm. Well, that's why we have you, Jack, as Santa Claus.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Bring a little sunlight to everybody's day.
Well, this has been a really interesting program this morning, and I'm not sure that we've ever had one that was exactly like this, and particularly because, as you said, Rob, and you too, Luana, that this would be probably the last place I would think of to go try to commit a robbery. I'd go to a university, go to a...
Right. I wonder why she did pick the accounting office.
Did it ever come out, Amanda?
Yeah.
We have indications that her mother worked at Transylvania some time ago.
Yeah,
so.
Near the accounting office. So that's probably where the information got passed down inadvertently at some point that there was cash, you know, in the accounting office. Because we all scratched our head. I can't think of anybody that would think to go rob the accounting
office.
It's not an easy place to find.
Correct.
Either. If you've ever been in Old Morrison at Transylvania, it's a very intricate building that you have to kind of wind around to find things. So she knew where she was going. She wasn't in there very long at all.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Update from ABC.